Well, welcome everybody to the little show that we call Last Christian. My name is J.D. Williams, located here in beautiful East Texas, God's country, and they're from New York. New York is my co-host, my friend, my brother in Christ, Mr. David Paxton. How are you doing today, David?
We're doing great. Welcome everybody from the great Northeast.
Yeah, well, you know, I actually had to turn my heater on here in Texas. Do you believe that? I can't believe we actually had to have heat. You know, I know you guys get all four seasons. We get two. It's either summer or winter, period. That's it. Okay? That's it. Anyway, today...
It saves a lot on clothing.
Today, week in review, we've got a lot going on for you. I'm going to tell you guys, if you are living in the Middle East, you're going to want to hear this one today. You're not going to want to turn away. We've got a lot of people, David, that listen to us in Israel. We have a lot of people that listen to us in Saudi Arabia, in Iraq, in Jordan. There's some in Syria, more than the Ayatollah would like to know about, that we have in Iran. We have people in North Korea that actually receive our signal via shortwave from South Korea. We have people in Russia that listen to us, quite a many. So, Putin, I'm sorry, but the information is getting out. It is getting into your country, and there's not a lot you can do about it. I say that because China is also one of the big listeners that we have. Remember, we do broadcast all 50 states, more than 160 countries around the world via a little over 50 different types of radio stations, AM, FM, DB, DAB, shortwave. We do encourage you to listen carefully to this show because things are happening very quickly. As a matter of fact, all of the stuff that I'm going to be talking about today has happened within the last week to a month. Okay, so be ready. We've got a lot to cover. You're going to want to hear all of this. And David, we're going to start off, believe it or not, now I have a thing that I do for the current events of the week. Okay, and when I got the information from the news people, I was amazed at just how little there was anywhere else except in the Middle East. So let's start with this one.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Haya with a roundup of the biggest headlines this past week, a week in which the war in the Middle East intensified. Israel began, then sustained its ground offensive into Gaza, the Palestinian territory led by Hamas, the militant group which killed around 1,400 people in an attack in Israel almost a month ago. Israel since launched a bombing campaign in the enclave. The health ministry there says the death toll is roughly 10,000. The week ended with US Secretary of State Antony Blinken back in Tel Aviv, his second visit in a matter of weeks, where he pushed for a humanitarian pause to allow additional aid into Gaza. He reiterated that the United States remains in solidarity with Israel, but stressed that more needs to be done to protect civilians.
As Israel conducts its campaign to defeat Hamas, how it does so matters, because it's the right and lawful thing to do. Failure to do so plays into the hands of Hamas and other terror groups. This is what binds us as human beings. I've seen images, too, of Palestinian children, young boys and girls, pulled from the wreckage of buildings. When I see that, when I look into their eyes through the TV screen, I see my own children. How can we not?
Israel has ruled out a ceasefire unless Hamas releases hundreds of hostages, dozens of whom are abducted children still held in the Strip. More than 1,000 people, including some wounded and many foreign nationals, have managed to cross the border into Egypt after it opened for the first time since the conflict erupted.
Okay. The other news items that they had today was the ongoing trial of former President Trump and displacement of other refugees in Afghanistan, where it was kind of strange because the Taliban didn't want them back and the ones that are affected didn't want to go. So anyway, figure that one out. So anyway, I do want to address what Blinken said, you know, with this pause. Again, we don't get political, at least try not to, but what he was calling for there is a pause to where they can put in humanitarian aid for the people of Gaza. Sounds like a nice little thing to do. However, what it really means is it gives Hamas time to regroup and reload and maybe even reinvade. Would you agree or disagree with that, David?
Well, I just keep thinking of winking, blinking, and nod every time you
yeah,
say
every
that.
Every time I hear his name, yeah, I do the same thing.
You know, and it's all rhetoric. We know it's all rhetoric. Because here's the bottom line. In Islam, they have this thing where if they asked their false prophet, if I have three sons that are killed in battle for Allah, do I get to go to heaven? Do I get a free pass? And then the one lady says, well, how about two? And he goes, okay, for two kids lost, you get to get into heaven for free. And then they get in with all their virgins and all that other stuff. Mm-hmm. So this is not about the kids. Israel always warns them before they're coming in. And they warn them with pamphlets, with flyers, with announcements, and says, you need to get your family out of here because we are going to attack. So if they are there, it is because all the Muslims have left them there on purpose. And they like to do this because, number one, then they brainwash the kids into thinking this is all I have to do, and they'll get their rewards and glory. And then they kind of like, you know, then they get their free pass as well. So, you know, the fact that the kids are there, they shouldn't have been there. They were warned and warned and warned and warned. They shouldn't have been there. And this is all for show, because then they take it and then they cry. Boo-hoo, they're all crying and they're all over the place, and they tear on people's hearts that don't understand. Yes, we don't like to see that to kids, but it is of their own doing. They did this on purpose to their own kids. It's not Israel's fault.
No, it's not. And one thing that, couple of things, actually. The Hamas terrorists are making it almost impossible for Gazans that want to leave to leave. They're blocking the exits and keeping them as far away from the border with Egypt as possible. The information that I have says that there's some 400,000 that are still remaining in Gaza. How many of those that want to get out, I couldn't tell you. I really don't know. Some, you know, just because there was one news report that I saw earlier that said, you know, just because a lot of Gazans do not agree with Hamas and don't even like Hamas doesn't mean that they like Israel either or want to live in peace with them. And that is also a fact. Again, I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. If I say it's something that's factual, you can find it. Unfortunately, the U.S. media ignores most of it. But, you know, if you'll tune in with us here on Last Christian, I guarantee you that you will get the true scoop. Again, this is just coming out and just coming out today. And this report is from a news agency called The Independent. And it's Israel and Hamas. Children among 20 killed as a UN school was struck in ramped up attacks on Gaza. What they fail to report in this is that the Hamas terrorists have a lot of their commanders in location there. They also have a lot of weaponry. Israel does not attack anything that is not a military target. Unfortunately, civilians are going to be killed in this as well. There was also another report this week that said Hamas was very upset that, or it might have been Hezbollah, I can't remember, it's either Gaza or Hamas, y'all can look it up, that a ambulance had been struck, and they made a big stink out of that. But here's the deal. What that ambulance was carrying were terrorists. They weren't after civilians. They were after the terrorists that were in the ambulance. So, yes, they hit an ambulance, but they hit an ambulance full of their enemy, an enemy which attacked them unprovoked. Okay? You also have to remember this. They talk a lot about children, but they don't talk about the fact that there was a mother who was bound. She was murdered, but only after she was ripped open and the baby that she carried was pulled out, laid next to her, killed that baby, then killed her. So if they're so worried about children, then I really think that they ought to talk about that too in the mainstream media. Unfortunately, they don't ever, 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 ever. I don't even remember hearing it on some of the conservative stations, to be honest with you. David, do you have any comment on that?
Yeah, well, they're all afraid. The conservative stations here aren't really what we, you and I, would deem conservative. They're controlled opposition.
Right.
And that's a shame. You know, you're really going to hear this stuff, and it's going to be very few to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, Netanyahu did reject that ceasefire that Blinken came to Israel to give them. And he says, Israel refuses a temporary ceasefire that does not include the return of our hostages. There's some 240 hostages, maybe more, that are being held right now. Now, Biden, of course, said Blinken said, we are absolutely focused on getting hostages back and getting them back to their families in safety. And we believe that, among other things, a humanitarian pause could help that effort, could facilitate it. It's one of the reasons we're focused on it. So he is just out of touch because, again, all they're going to do is regroup and reattack. That's all they're going to do. You know, yep. It just gives them time.
Yeah, just okay. Tell me the last time Hamas actually, you know, had a ceasefire where they did what they said and stopped the attack.
Yeah,
it's never happened. It's never like every happened. Time you relent, they just do that. They regroup and attack again.
Right. Okay. The next thing up here is Hezbollah. Now, Hezbollah, of course, is one of the other terrorist organizations. This is the crown jewel for Iran. This is the group that receives the most funding from Iran. They're about 10 times the size of Hamas, and they are located on the northern border with Israel. And I'm going to very quickly here put up this map. This kind of gives you an idea. If you look at Israel, look up toward Lebanon and Syria, and that's basically where Hamas is located. I'm sorry, not Hamas, Hezbollah is located. And the reason I'm showing you this is because this is coming out. Now, this is per Fox News. Hezbollah is threatening to expand the fight against Israel. They're saying this is not the end. Now, this is... this Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah, I don't know if I'm saying that right or not, he did a televised speech on this, and he made a comment. He says, some claim Hezbollah is about to join the fray. I tell you, we have been engaged in this battle since October the 8th. Some would like Hezbollah to engage in an all-out war, but I can tell you, what's happening now along the Israeli-Lebanese border is significant, and this is not the end. What we have done since October 8th is unprecedented in terms of fighting strategy. Every day we've been targeting Israeli soldiers, tanks, drones, sensors, the eyes and ears of Israel. We've been engaged in a true battle. The amount of our martyrs is 57, testifies to this. So, okay, they're making it clear they're involved. This is the second front. Now, the media doesn't want to tell you there's a second front, but that clearly that just indicates right there that you do have a second front. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, that would destroy the narrative that Israel is just, willy-nilly attacking Gaza to take the land back because they're being attacked from all sides.
Correct.
And you say Hassan, I just that brings up more memories of Bugs Bunny. Remember when he's in the cave and he finds all the treasures and everything, and then the guy guarding it was Hassan Chop.
Anyway. I had forgotten the name, but yeah, okay, I got you. All right, yep. Now this wasn't all that Naraza has vowed to do, by the way. In this same speech that I just referenced, He vows to continue attacks on American troops. He said that the terror group will continue its attacks on U.S. troops in Iraq and Syria. And again, this was made in that very same speech that I referenced before. He said the U.S. must be held accountable and pay the price for the crimes perpetrated by Israel in Gaza. Hence, resistance movements have attacked, and we will continue to attack American forces in Iraq and Syria. Israel has revealed itself to be a weak state, as fragile as a spider web, and it needs American and Western support. Otherwise, why would the U.S. Navy send an aircraft carrier shortly after the October 7th attack? Why else would Biden visit Israel alongside numerous American government secretaries, the military top brass, and European leaders? Now, he's been praising Hamas for its violent attacks and referring to Israel as the occupiers. And, of course, he's done that strictly. I mean, he's backing up the Palestinian operations there. So he's vowing to attack the United States, and I can't. He's done it several times, and when I say attack the United States, I mean over there, as far as troops that are on the ground right now. I've got another report later that makes this even scarier, but anyway, again, it's a second front, but what's the Biden administration going to do? And again, I don't want to get political here. What should the United States of America do, in your opinion, whether it's Biden or Trump or somebody else? What should we be doing right now with threats like that?
Well, Biden's just going to go out and get some more ice cream and tell a story about something bad that happened to him. So he's pretty much useless. What the United States should do, but they probably won't, because at this point, you know, we're just, you know, Babylon, so to speak. And then those who know prophecy know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. What we should, as a righteous nation, what we should do is just defend Israel without all the hoopla that they want to go along with it. But Amen. Islam considers America to be the great Satan, mm-hmm. okay? And then Israel is the little Satan because of the historical fact that the United States backed Israel all these years, so they just consider them better because, you know, we're just a whole lot bigger. But it's all just going to play out. Every last nation, including the one we're in, unfortunately, it's not the same, America that you and I grew up in, right. That's for sure. Every last nation is going to come against Israel, and that's the bottom line. So this is just this chess piece, and they're putting on a facade to sneak in the door, because that's what the devil does. He comes as an angel of light. Right. Hey, I'm here to save you. But, you know, in the meantime, he's that wolf in sheep's clothing.
Amen.
I don't trust him for one moment. None of them.
No. Well, I mean, we've read the book. We've read the Bible. Yep. We know exactly what's coming. And, you know, the one thing that I will hear people talking on the news or listen to podcasts or whatever, and they said, well, we don't know what's coming next. Yeah, you do. All you got to do is pick up the Bible. If you would actually pick up the Bible and read it, then you would be able to make a report that actually makes sense to the world instead of your little fantasy world that you want to live in, where everybody's going to, you know, come by eye at some point, and everybody's going to be friendly and happy, and Israel, is going to be completely destroyed. By the way, there was an earlier report that said that they had given up on the two-state solution now, and instead, they just want to make it Palestine, you know, and we'll figure out what to do with the Jews later. Well, I'm sorry, that's not going to fly. And that leads me to the next point I want to make today. This is Israel warning its citizens against worldwide travel as anti-Semitism attacks are on the rise. Now, usually I don't read a complete report from any news organization, but I'm going to give this news organization its due, okay, and tell you that this is from the Jerusalem Post. So anybody that wants to verify this can go to the Jerusalem Post, again, giving them full credit for the reporting here. And I'm going to read this because, again, we have a lot of listeners that are in the Middle East, And, of course, we have Jewish citizens all over the world listening to this. And this is a very important announcement or something that was put out by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So I want to read this in its entirety. Israel has warned its citizens against traveling abroad due to an increase in anti-Semitic incidents and violent attacks against Israelis and Jews worldwide. Now here's the quote. In recent weeks, against the backdrop of the swords of iron conflict, the National Security Council and the Foreign Ministry have witnessed a significant rise in incidents of anti-Semitism and incitement alongside life-threatening attacks against Israelis and Jews around the world. These incidents are occurring in numerous countries worldwide, including countries that we do not have terrorist warnings. In light of the growing trend, the NSC calls for a reevaluation of the necessity of traveling abroad during these days. At the same time, the NSC calls upon the general public in Israel departing for any destination to follow its recommendations regarding the required conduct of Israeli citizens abroad. The recommendations include avoid travel to countries with travel warnings, emphasizing Arab countries, the Middle East, North Caucasus, and countries surrounding Iran. Accessing the situation regarding protests and violent incidents against Israelis in the chosen destination, even in countries without travel warnings. Avoid wearing or displaying Israeli and Jewish symbols. Verifying emergency phone numbers in the places to which one does travel, as well as the presence of Israeli representation, if available. Stay away from protests and demonstrations. Maintain alertness. Refrain from engaging in conversations about Israeli security systems, including the military, with unfamiliar individuals. The NSC and the ministry said that Jewish communities, religious institutions such as synagogues and Shabbat houses, kosher restaurants, and Israeli businesses, along with Israeli delegations and airports serving flights to and from Israel, are core targets for anti-Semitic attacks. Since the start of the war on October 7, Israel has advised citizens against travel to Arab countries and placed several destinations at level 4, the highest level of travel warning. The U.S. Department of State has also issued a travel warning against Israel. It has told Americans to refrain from traveling to Gaza due to terrorism, civil unrest, and armed conflict. It is also said to reconsider travel to Israel and to the West Bank due to terrorism and civil unrest. So Israel is taking all this very seriously, and they are, of course, warning people worldwide. Again, I told you guys at the top of the show, especially if you're in that area, you need to pay attention to those warnings, because Israel has one of the greatest reconnaissance, or what, I forget what you call it, but anyway, they are up to speed. They know what's going on just about everywhere in the world. Right, David?
Absolutely they do. I want to remind people, too, I mean, this is just reminiscent. We get into Daniel 12, and it talks about, in verse 11, from time, and from the time that daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that makes desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So we're starting to see that. The temple's coming back.
Right.
And here we're moving right into, this is located both in Matthew and Mark, what it says, Jesus is talking, and he says in when he's talking about the end of the age, specifically, he says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. In other words, this is prophecy. And let them that be in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who's on the housetop not go down into the house, neither enter therein to take anything out of his house. Wow, that's pretty severe. Don't even go in your house to get anything. Just get out. Yeah. And let him that is in the field don't turn back again to take up your garment. And woe to them that are with child. And we've seen that.
Yeah.
And today they give them suck in those days. And pray that your flight not be in winter. For those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of creation, which God created to this time, neither shall be. Clearly, we're seeing the approach to this time.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. And we're going to get into that more in the second half of the show. But one thing I want to emphasize here again, not being political, this goes with both Democrat and Republican administrations, and that's the border, border problem that we have. It's been there for a long time. David, you guys are really just beginning to kind of experience what we here in Texas have experienced for decades, all mm-hmm. my life, really. There are people up there in northern states, eastern states, that are saying, you know, we can't handle this. You know, we got like 1,000 refugees all at once. Well, we get 1 million a day. I mean, that's just, imagine for a second, okay? It's mm-hmm. really crazy here, but now it's beginning to spread all across. And why am I bringing that up? Not to criticize the current administration at all, not to criticize previous administration or any other administration, but I have a report that I'm going to start the second half of the show with about something that happened right here in conservative Texas this week that plays into this and shows the importance of closing the border. In order to have a country, you got to have a border. Okay, you have to. You just have to. It makes common sense. It's just a common sense thing. But we all know that there's a lot of people that have come across that border that do not have the best intentions for the United States in mind. I don't think there's any doubt about
that's
that.
That's why it was designed.
So
that's the whole reason for it.
Exactly.
And again, they're using the kids and the women as crying, ooh, boo-hoo, boo-hoo. And in the meantime, here's all these terrorists sneaking in right behind them.
Well, and the fact is, I can speak of this factually as a Texan because I see this stuff, you know, it's actually run on TVs down here. And that is that the vast majority of people that have come across the border are men, young men. There's no families mm-hmm. involved. That's it. You know, it's just guys. And then they call them gotaways. In other words, we have no idea who they were. They just got away. We knew they were coming, but they got away. Anyway, we're going to talk about that all in the second half of the show. And I've got some additional stuff for you. Is Gog Magog coming? We're going to talk about that too. Stick around for the next half of The Last Christian.
From the Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Haya with a roundup of the biggest headlines this past week, a week in which the war in the Middle East intensified. Israel began, then sustained its ground offensive into Gaza, the Palestinian territory led by Hamas, the militant group which killed around 1,400 people in an attack in Israel almost a month ago. Israel since launched a bombing campaign in the enclave. The health ministry there says the death toll is roughly 10,000. The week ended with U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken back in Tel Aviv, his second visit in a matter of weeks, where he pushed for a humanitarian pause to allow additional aid into Gaza. He reiterated that the United States remains in solidarity with Israel, but stressed that more needs to be done to protect civilians.
As Israel conducts its campaign to defeat Hamas, how it does so matters, because it's the right and lawful thing to do. Failure to do so plays into the hands of Hamas and other terror groups.
Israel has ruled out a ceasefire unless Hamas releases hundreds of hostages, dozens of whom are abducted children still held in the Strip. More than 1,000 people, including some wounded and many foreign nationals, have managed to cross the border into Egypt after it opened for the first time since the conflict erupted. Displacement globally. Pakistan's started deporting thousands of undocumented migrants, mostly Afghans, after the deadline for voluntary deportation came to an end. Thousands of refugees have already been deported through the border crossing with Afghanistan. The Taliban has condemned the decision and called it inhumane. Priyata Bajabasi reports.
As Pakistan begins the forceful deportation of thousands of Afghans, many of them who have called Pakistan home for decades say they have nothing to go back to. Others say they're terrified to be heading back to a Taliban-ruled Afghanistan. Taliban said the Pakistani government must halt the expulsion of immigrants. Pakistan claims it is acting to protect national security.
In other news, Eric Trump and Donald Trump Jr. had been in court this week, testifying that they had no involvement with documents that a judge ruled were fraudulently manipulated. The two brothers, together with their father, former President Donald Trump, are accused of inflating the value of properties and other assets in order to secure better loans. Here's Jody Jacobs.
Both Eric and Donald Trump Jr. have told the court here in New York that they were not involved in the questionable valuations. Questionable valuations that now threaten to crumble their father's real estate empire. Eric and Trump Jr. were in charge of the business empire while their father served as president from 2017 to 2021. Trump himself is set to testify on Monday, the latest in many court appearances for the former president.
I'm Benji Hire. That was your Week in Review.
And welcome back to the second half of The Last Christian. Again, my name is J.D. Williams, and joining me from New York, David Paxton. David, I teased this in the first half of the show, and I'm going to go ahead and read it now. This happened this week, and it happened here in Texas. And I don't think there's any doubt that Texas is one of the more conservative states in the United States. I know... For me, personally, our area is extremely conservative. So this guy that I'm about to tell you about, he wouldn't have had a good day, you know, if this had happened here. But this is coming out of Houston. Now, Houston is one of the most liberal cities in Texas. We have Houston, Dallas, Fort Worth is, it's becoming more and more liberal over time. But anyway, Houston and Dallas are the most liberal cities in Texas, without any doubt. And, well, our state capital, Austin, where I went to school in Austin. And even back then, you know, the slogan was Keep Austin Weird. Well, that was kind of like, you know. Anyway, Fox 26 in Houston is reporting this. Authorities in Texas have arrested a man accused of studying how to build bombs for a possible attack against Jewish people. And the FBI director used this case as an example of increased risk of terror attacks in the United States. Now, this goes back to what we were talking about in the first half of the show about borders being important and the gotaways, and even some of the just let them in people. Not everybody here that's coming across the border in Texas and California, in New Mexico or Arizona, whatever, not everybody is coming across for a good reason. And I don't know what the percentage is, but let's say it's 1% of 9 million. 1% of 9 million. That's enough to really cause havoc. I mean, remember 9/11. How many people were on the plane that first hit? 12 or something like that? I don't remember. You might, because you lived it. It doesn't take very many. Terrorists, they shut down air travel for days after 9/11. You know, you got to take your shoes off in an airport now because of 9/11. And attacks beyond that. But what's your impression of that, David? I mean, 1% of 9 million.
Well, that's all it takes. I mean, rat poison is 99% delicious rat food and 1% poison, but that kills the rats. And this is just par for the course, I think. You know, if you're going to sneak in, you can't just sneak in and, you know, wave the flags and say, hey, we're here, blah, blah, blah. You got to try and come in undercover. So this is to be expected. But that being said, people need to wake up and realize that, hey, that's why there's so many that are coming in and they put that facade on. I mean, here in the city, I literally have friends that are immigrants from dozens of nations, and all of them are really upset. They're like, we went through a lot of money.
Yeah.
We spent time doing this the right way. And I would say the legal immigrants here in the city are much more angry at the illegal immigrants than us who were born here. And because they realize what it takes and what they've earned. And here are these people just coming, stealing everything. And then they're getting free housing. They're putting them up in the hotels and everything. I got friends that are actually, you know, in the military, actually guarding these hotels. And they're very ungrateful. They're very mean and obnoxious. How come you're not coming? I don't like this food. I need better accommodations and all this other stuff. And, you know, my thought is, hey, how about if I just bring you back home?
Yeah. Right.
You know?
Well,
and sometimes how about your eternal home?
I can tell you here that, and this is not reported in mainstream media, but again, as a member of the U.S. Press Association, I can tell you this is a fact. And that is that the vast majority of legal immigrants from Mexico do not like the illegal immigrants from Mexico.
Oh, 100%.
Okay, they do not like it. Now then, I can also tell you this because I actually worked in Laredo, Texas for a while. This was years ago, okay, many, many years ago. It was before 9/11. And the Mexican citizens, there were many Mexican citizens that were allowed to come across the border every day to work and then go back across the border. They were allowed to come across to buy groceries and different things and then go back. Now, they had to have a certain identification that they were citizens of Mexico, but of Nuevo Laredo, which was the Mexican portion of that area. And now that was easy, and we had no issues with that. Again, I worked for American Airlines, and every day on every flight, again, this was back in the 90s, but every day on every flight, the border control people, border patrol, would come in for every flight. They would go into the waiting room where people were ready to board a flight. And believe me, it's not hard to see an illegal. It's not. It's just easy. And the Border Patrol agents would go up and they would arrest three or four illegal immigrants every flight, every single one. They never got on an airplane. Okay. Now, they don't have the time or the personnel to do that now. I guarantee you they don't. And it's even, you know, we even had a law in Dallas that you couldn't even report an illegal alien. You'd get in trouble for reporting them, you know, during my time working there. And another thing that people don't realize that aren't in this area is that Texas actually sets up an additional border patrol point 20 miles inside of U.S. territory. That's something that nobody realizes. But if they are able to get across, if an illegal alien is able to get across, and then they use a car to, you know, or a bus or whatever to travel, 20 miles in, you're going to get stopped, and they're going to take a look, you know, and they have the authority to open trunks, and, you know, they'll walk a dog around your car and all that kind of good stuff. Okay, so anyway, as far as I know, that's still in place, but maybe not. Back to this story here. This guy was using a Palestine passport. He has come back to the United States in June of 2019. In 2020, he applied for an application for asylum and for withholding of removal, which is still pending. In August 2023, he was approved for employment authorization in the United States, allowing him to work in the United States until August 1st, 2025. Now, this guy, his name is Sahib Abjajash or something. I don't really care if I pronounce it right or not. Anyway, he has been charged with unlawful possession of a firearm. That's it. That's all he's facing. So I don't know if they'll deport him or not after that is done. Now, here's a big one. And this is something, again, for you people in the Middle East, you need to pay close attention to this. For many years, every time Israel has wanted to go into Syria to take care of people that are in transit, trying to move weaponry around to reinforce Hezbollah or other terrorist organizations or even individuals. Israel has notified Russia, we're going to fly over you and we're going to hit this target. Well, Israel has stopped doing that. This is according to the Jewish News Syndicate. Israel has stopped warning Russian forces in Syria ahead of every airstrike it carries out in the country amid worsening ties between Moscow and Jerusalem. This was reported by Bloomberg on Friday of this past week. According to the report, the Israeli Defense Forces did not warn Russia ahead of an October 30th strike on a military base in Daraa in southwestern Syria. Similarly, no notice was given when Israeli jets struck a Syrian base holding Hezbollah terrorists. Now, the permanent representative of Russia, and this is really important here, the permanent representative of Russia to the UN, his name is Vasily Nebenza, I think, N-E-B-E-N-Z-Y-A. He told a General Assembly special session on the Israel-Hamas war that Israel does not have the right to defend itself. I've never heard of anything so absurd in all my life. They're not allowed, as a country, they are not allowed to defend themselves. Comment?
Yeah, that's just like talking to a five-year-old.
Yeah.
How do you even have a normal conversation with someone like that? You just don't. So you got reality. We just keep doing what we're doing, just not pay any attention to this idiot.
Well, this is something the world is talking about it. And, we're going to get into it even more and show you how the world is turning more and more and more against Israel, just exactly the way the Bible said would happen. Okay, so that leads me to Russia's President Putin is now siding with Hamas over Israel.
Oh, I was not aware of that.
To spite the West is the full report. Okay, again, this is according to the Jerusalem Post, and please, for everybody listening, keep this in mind. The Jerusalem Post is not some kind of a conservative paper. This isn't something that where Israel is like the greatest thing on the planet. They're very hard on Israel many times. They are not a huge supporter of Benjamin Netanyahu, their prime minister. But they're reporting this stuff, that Vladimir Putin legitimizing of Hamas the morning after the massacre is an affront to every Jew. That is their reporting, okay? It says Russia, for its part, has appreciated Israel's departure from the Western fold. Israeli and Russian generals met regularly to make sure their operations in Syria didn't collide, and the two countries' leaders met frequently and fruitfully. Netanyahu and Putin even became close, with the former paying multiple visits to the Kremlin. And then it goes on to say, now this era of good feeling comes to an end. Officially, the Russians' move was meant to deliver the release of Russian nationals held hostage by Hamas. In practice, this was something entirely different, a thinly veiled attempt to spite Washington by biting the Jewish state. So, Russia is beginning to show now more of an alliance to those that are against Israel than they are with them. And remember now, if Russia was to tell Israel, you can't overfly us anymore. You can't fly over, you cannot fly over our troops to hit something in Syria. And then they did it and Russia shot at them. We got a problem. One way or another, we got a problem, and it's going to lead to a wider conflict, in my opinion. David, you may have a different one.
Yeah, maybe that is the hook that brings Gog down. You never know, because most people have a surmise that he'll put a hook in your jaw and bring him down would be the oil that's available there, which it still very well could be. But maybe that hook is, hey, we're not friends anymore and stop flying over us. Yeah, right. Who knows? But I do know this. I mean, Putin has, from time to time, it looks like the good guy, looks like the bad guy. But you got to remember, all of the nations of the world will come and fight against, you know, Yeshua when he comes back.
Right.
So, you know, here comes Jesus back. He comes back with his wedding party, the bride, and a bunch of horses behind him, white linen, the sword comes out. So we're with him there. So clearly we've been raptured already. Mm-hmm. So we come back with him, and then all the nations of the world will actually fight against him. But you gotta read just before that too. There are nations that will fight against the Antichrist. All right. Mm-hmm. And here's the way you see it. Before the flood, we, you know, you talk about the Nephilim, the giants and whatnot. Right. Enoch says that there were actually three main races of giants, and the Nephilim were, you know, they all fought each other. And then they destroyed each other and then turned on mankind together. So we're seeing a similar pattern here. Yeah. All the nations, they hate each other because each one of the nations, let's say the 10 that are in there and the dragon with the seven heads and the 10 horns, and all that imagery is basically all these evil entities fighting each other for to be the strongest one, and then when Jesus comes back, they're all going to turn and fight against him because mm-hmm. Jesus is against all of them. So that's what I see here. You know, if Putin's on the side of America, then, you know, it's just jockeying for position now, because they'll turn against each other and they're all going to fight each other back and forth and back and forth. So to me, it makes no sense to take sides in any of this political stuff mm-hmm. because the only side I'm on is the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And that is against all of these other people and the winning side. So it's enlightened self-interest to be yeah. on the winning side until he comes back. But this is what we're going to see. It's going to be escalated fights between all the evil powers and each other. So don't take any of their sides per se, but we need to stand with Israel, not because they're a wonderful nation, because the Bible says they're an evil and wicked generation,
right?
But it's his covenant. For my name's sake, I will do this,
right.
is what God said.
Right.
So that's really why we're there, for his name's sake, and they will be restored, even though they're not right now, but they will be eventually. But that's because God said so. So I'm on the kingdom of God's side with right. that.
Yeah, yeah, me too. Me too. And by the way, this is the final show every week where we do the week in review. We have three shows each week. Each one of them is a little bit different. And the early show in of each week is primarily, you know, what's going on right now, with a heavy focus on prophecy. The middle week is something that we just started this past week, which is a verse by verse, where we go through the Bible verse by verse. We started in Genesis 1, and we made it to Genesis 1:3. So we covered basically, I mean, we read five verses, but we actually talked about the first three. And I don't think we're done talking about the first three yet.
Not by a long shot.
So anyway, David's promised to bring in some additional stuff that I don't have at all. What did you call it, David? Pictograph or something like that?
The ancient pictograph Hebrew language. You'll see that.
Okay,
and you guys could Google that one.
So if you get the midweek, I know some radio stations carry all shows. Some of them just carry one, and I'm going to get in touch with a bunch of stations that I don't usually keep up with regularly, and let them know, hey, you know, that's the run that you really need to watch, is that midweek one. You know, if that's the one that people need to see. And again, for you people, especially living in the Middle East, even in Europe, well, really anywhere in the world, you need to watch this show, because it's going to get that midweek show is going to carry stuff that you have never heard before, but it's all biblical. And that's the important thing here. Now, to move on, and you were actually talking about this a little bit. Have you heard of Joel Rosenberg?
Yep.
Okay. He is an Israeli citizen. He is mm-hmm. a end times author. And now he was involved with an interview with an organization called ChristianHeadlines.com. It's ChristianHeadlines.com. And he said in this interview that, this isn't a question, this is a statement. So listen to this very carefully. We are in the early stages of Gog Magog in the Israeli war. He said that in the interview, he wonders if the Middle East is in the early stages of one of the most hotly debated prophetic events described in Scripture, those surrounding Gog Magog, although he cautions Christians not to take a firm position because there's not nearly enough data yet. I somewhat agree, I somewhat disagree. I see it going a certain direction, but I think he's right that, you know, we can't say for sure that it's starting, but I would say that it's more probable than possible. Your comments, Dave? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like we always talk about, prophecy is esoteric in that it's going to give you hints and clues along the way, and you're really not going to be able to pinpoint it until moments after it happens, right. And then it'll be crystal clear. And the God in his wisdom can write things that way. Even Paul talks about, you know, right now I see faintly in a glass, but then we'll see him face to face and we'll know him as he is. Right. That applies to everything in the Word, including prophecy. So yeah, we look on these things, but the whole reason we search them out is not to try and pinpoint a time or where it's at, but when it does happen, then we recognize it. Right. So we just put all the information in, and he said it'll be like birth pains, and we can see the birth pains are increasing in intensity and in the speed, and the contractions are getting closer and closer and closer.
Right.
So that being said, you know, all too often I think we concerned, oh, this is happening and that's happening and this is terrible. We need to expect that. But on the other side of that, it's an exciting time because that means his return is imminent. It's right. Literally right around the corner.
Right.
Okay. And then we will go and have the wedding supper with him, and then he'll come back and he'll straighten this whole mess out.
Right. Agree with that 100%. Now, again, this Joel Rosenberg is the editor-in-chief of All Israel News. He's also the author of numerous books about the region. And he says he sees two possible scenarios involving the events described in Ezekiel 37 and Ezekiel 38. Ezekiel 38:2 references a Gog from the land of Magog who will attack the land of Israel. And he says in the first scenario, he said that Israel defeats Hamas and its enemies decisively, sparking a period of peace in the region. Now, I don't think that there's ever going to be peace in the region until all of this stuff unfolds. Would you agree or disagree? Do you think there's a chance that there could be like decades of peace in there somewhere?
Not decades. Here's what the Bible teaches, basically. The abomination of desolation will come, but how did he get there to begin with? So it says, he that letteth will let until the apostasy, basically. Short story, take it out of the King James, is the Holy Spirit indwells his church right now because he says he lives in us. When we go back to the time of Israel, David even talks about, hey, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Well, that can't happen if you're a Christian because he lives inside of you.
Right.
As the body of Christ, he lives inside of us. But we'll go back to an Israel-centric time in that 7 years where the Holy Spirit is outside and basically can come upon people. Mm-hmm. So they can be saved as a result of the Holy Spirit, but it won't indwell them because he indwells the bride. That's the helper, the Eliezer, you know, the God, my helper. Right. So what we see here is this will all be basically held down until the church is out. And then when the church leaves, the Holy Spirit leaves as an occupier, basically. The lid comes off the abyss, all that comes out. Now there's a bit of time where the world says, oh my goodness, the aliens took all those people that were against the New World Government. We yeah. need a leader.
Uh-huh.
Let's find us a leader, and ta-da, yeah. all of there a sudden comes this guy who looks just like Jesus, because he is the pseudo-Christ. Yeah. And he is going to say, hey, we're going to have peace. I'm going to enforce the covenant that Israel has with God. Yay, look at me. I'm wonderful, because he speaks like a lamb. Mm-hmm. Or no, he looks like a lamb but speaks like a dragon.
Right.
So he'll pretend he's Christ and pretend, and they'll love him because, oh, here's our Messiah. He's come. He's brought peace. He let us build the temple. But it's all, again, a ruse for right. him to get in. So for that 3.5 years after the church is out, there will be that small period of peace until the abomination of desolation.
Right. Okay. With that in mind, he goes on to say here, as the smoke clears off the battlefield, suddenly Israel's the strongest power in the region. Suddenly all of our immediate threats and enemies have been vanquished, or at least so humble that they can't throw any more punches right now. He said such a future era of peace would parallel the events described in the latter verses of Ezekiel 37, where Israel is enjoying a lengthy period of time without war. But in the second scenario, considering the prophesied era of peace ended on October 7th, and Israel's time without war in Ezekiel 37 is in the past, that era of peace included the Abraham Accords. He said scenario two is that we are in the early stages of Gog Magog and many others in the pre-millennial, pre-tribulation camp believe that Gog is the leader of Russia and Magog is the Russian-led military. Now, just really, really quick here, because we're getting low on time. I'm going to run through this. And by the way, I encourage you guys to please go to Ezekiel 37, 38, 39. Read that in the Bible. Okay. But Turkey is now prepared to notify the International Criminal Court that Israel is a war criminal. And that is the Turkish president says that he's going to do that. It is demanding that all parties immediately and fully comply with their obligations under international law. And if you think it's just Turkey, there's a report from the Prophecy News Watch says that Turkey threatens intervention in Gaza. In other words, they get directly involved with them just exactly the way the Bible says that they will as a part of the Gog-Magog war. All eyes on Israel, immediate foes such as Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, and its proxies in Lebanon, Iraq, and Syria. One nation that could present the biggest challenge is Turkey, but there's more. Again, per the Israeli National News, Honduras said that it is recalling its ambassador to Israel for consultations of violations of international humanitarian law. Bolivia has done the same. Chile has done the same. Colombia has done the same. And Jordan has done the same this week. Like I said, all this news is happening very quickly, exactly the way that the Lord said it would. So if you have not accepted Jesus Christ yet, remember the rapture is imminent. That means it can happen at any moment. I'm not calling a shot, but it can happen any time. So please pray that prayer of salvation to the Lord. Ask him for forgiveness of your sins and let him know that Jesus, you know Jesus died for you. And please pray that prayer of salvation in your own words. Ask Jesus to come in your heart and forgive you for all your sins. And we hope that we'll be back next time with another edition of this little show we call Last Christian. We invite you to join us. We'll keep you up to date where the mainstream media will deceive you. We'll tell you the truth. Until next time, everybody, good night and God bless.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net until the trumpet sounds.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.